There was a time when journalism used to prove itself by reporting on the facts instead of taking their ball and going home. But that's exactly what NPR announced that was doing on Twitter yesterday when they made the announcement they would no longer be posting any content on their more than 50 accounts on Twitter. Well, that's 50 things Americans don't need to worry about on Twitter, I guess, because any reputable news source would have proven itself with a news report that would have simply debunked Elon Musk's claims. We have that story and so much more coming right up. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. I'm your host, Greg Bolden, here on the America Out Loud Network. Glad that you've come back. We're having a great week of episodes exposing the war with China that's brewing in the background, the Pentagon Papers, Lindsey Graham, and so much more. And now my next weasel of the week is National Public Radio, NPR. NPR took to Twitter on Wednesday and announced to the world that they were tired of the playing with Elon Musk and Twitter. So they were going to take their ball and they were going to go home. This all spawned from being cited as state-affiliated media. After they fought this, the state-affiliated media term was changed to government-funded media by Elon Musk's Twitter. They took exception to this, stating that they received less than 1% of their $300 million annual budget from the federally funded Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I don't know if Elon Musk was confusing PBS and NPR, but PBS receives more finances from the government than NPR. That stated, they still receive about $3 million each year, but I don't know that that's enough to call NPR government-funded media. But the reason why I don't feel that this is much of a loss to America is for the fact that if that's how easily a serious news organization is going to take their content down simply because of the way that they were labeled and not going to fight back with sound journalism, what the hell type of journalism company are you to begin with? Like, what service are you doing for society? In fact, I used to believe that NPR was a very balanced news organization. But ever since December 2017, if you go to allsides.com, which reviews the editorial content, not the radio content, radio content's a little bit different, but the published content on the website, they said that they leaned left December of 2017, and in the most recent February of 2022, they continued to find that the NPR reports leaned left on the political spectrum. So NPR has not been balanced. It has shown a bias now for many years. In April of 2023, they now are showing their initial confidence is that it is still leaning left under their opinions. They're going to be doing some more, and All Sides will be reporting back to that. When I've listened to NPR, and I should note that I teach at a school where NPR is a partner station with my educational FM radio station, and I feel very strongly and highly about the individuals that I work with in the local NPR section. That all stated, when I talk to different NPR reporters, the bias is definitely leaning left on many of the individuals that I have met that work for National Public Radio. That does not take into consideration at this point in time what Elon Musk is saying, that it's government-funded media. Now, if Elon Musk is making that case because of the coverage that was handed out during the Trump presidency and continues the now very favorable type of coverage going towards the Biden administration. Well, that's fine, well, and good, but just point out that they lean left instead of saying that they're government funded. So I believe that there are two sides to the story. The first side is Elon Musk is playing a game here, and I'm not quite sure it's a game that he will win. However, if all these news organizations just start pulling their content off of NPR, guess what's going to happen? Twitter will eventually become the new media company, which is what I was just saying yesterday was likely going to happen with Elon Musk's X idea. The worst thing that NPR can do right now is immediately say, well, you hurt my feelings. I no longer want to play on the playground. I don't want to go outside for recess anymore. We're no longer going to publish anything here. Look, if your point is that you're independent, then prove it through everything that you're reporting. Don't give people any type of benefit of doubt where they're going to all of a sudden say, you know what, I think NPR is definitely leaning here. Now, there is no government influence on NPR's appointed board. That should be noticed. The network has tangled with both Democrat and Republican administrations. During the Obama administration, they had media organizations that pressed Obama about the detainees being held at Guantanamo Bay. And Donald Trump, people went after him over his actions in Ukraine. So NPR has a pretty balanced record in the past of going after both Democrats and Republicans. That stated, since 2017, they've started leaning more to the left, and the Donald Trump presidency definitely pushed them that direction. Company that with Elon Musk and his BBC interview on Twitter Spaces, as well as on the BBC yesterday. And we have possibly what I believe is Elon Musk not really trying to expose state-affiliated media, but rather the media companies that are all now working together in order to control a narrative since, I guess you could say, the COVID pandemic. If that's the case, then I believe what Elon Musk is trying to make a point at is the Trusted News Initiative that was set up by the BBC, which we're going to get into in just a second, because Elon Musk absolutely roasted the BBC in a Twitter Spaces yesterday. But the Trusted News Initiative, they had partners that were trying to work together in order to stop disinformation myths. And they partnered together. Now, NPR, I should note, was not part of them. It was the Associated Press, the AFP, the BBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBC, the European Broadcasting Union, Facebook, Financial Times, First Draft, Google, YouTube, The Hindu, Microsoft, Reuters, Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism, Twitter, and The Washington Post. Now, this was set up, according to them, their words, not mine, to protect audiences and users from disinformation, particularly around moments of jeopardy such as elections. The TNI complements existing programs partners have in place. The problem with this Trusted News Initiative is that part of the people that were creating this, the BBC, are publicly funded and state-funded state television when you get to the CBC. And so I believe that Elon Musk was trying to make a point for this. And in his Twitter Spaces, he actually said to the BBC, if whatever language that you use to describe yourself, if it's publicly funded, we can always change it from state-sponsored media to publicly funded media, which tells me NPR, he would likely have changed the label as well if they just say, what is the label that you're looking for? How do you describe yourself? But once again, NPR, I think, feels that it's better for their business model to just pull from Twitter, tell everybody where to go, and make money off of this and get more funding. And it seems like it's working, looking at the media that response that they're getting. They're getting more headlines today than they get during a regular day. Now, back to the BBC. Elon Musk hosted a Twitter Spaces, invited the BBC to Twitter. And during that time, he said, you know, you can ask me anything, but they just showed up. And he turned the tables around. But this guy that did the interview, he had no business doing this interview with Elon Musk. I mean, this thing, if you could ever have something go south quickly, this is the definition of having an interview go south quickly. Listen here as the BBC interviewer tries to say to Elon that since he took over, there is more hate speech on Twitter. And eventually it's going to lead to Elon telling him that he lies. And then he's going to go in on the BBC. Enjoy.
Content you don't like or hateful? What do you mean to describe a hateful thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just content that will solicit a reaction, something that may include something that is slightly racist or slightly sexist, those kinds of things.
So you think if something is slightly sexist, it should be banned?
What
you're saying?
I'm not saying anything.
I'm just curious. I'm trying to understand what you mean by hateful content, and I'm asking for specific examples. And you just said that if something is slightly sexist, that's hateful content. Does that mean that it should be banned?
Well, you've asked me whether my feed, whether it's got less or more. I'd say it's got slightly more.
That's why I'm asking for examples. Can you name one example?
I honestly don't
single example.
I'll tell you why, because I don't actually use that for you feed anymore, because I just don't particularly like it.
But you said
actually, a lot of people are quite similar. Hang on a second.
You said you've seen more hateful content, but you can't name a single example, not even one.
I'm not sure I've used that feed for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
How did you see the hateful content?
Because I've been using Twitter since you've taken it over for the last 6 months.
Okay, so then you must have at some point seen your hateful content. I'm asking for one example.
Right.
And I say, sir, that you don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
Yes, because you can't give me a single example of hateful content, not even one tweet, and yet you claimed that the hateful content was high.
Well,
that's a false.
No, what I claimed...
You just lied.
What I claimed was... there are many organizations that say that kind of information is on the rise. Now, whether it has on
Give
my
me
feed
one
or
example.
Not, I mean, I, right, and
literally
you can look at someone like the Strategic Dialogue Institute in the UK, they will say that. So
people will say all sorts of nonsense. I'm literally asking for a single example, and you can't name one.
Right, and as I've already said, I don't use that feed. But
how would you know that I don't think
this is getting anywhere.
You literally said you experienced more hateful content, and then couldn't name a single example.
Right, and as I said,
that's absurd.
I haven't actually looked at that feed.
Then how would you know if it's hateful content?
Because I'm saying that's what I saw a few weeks ago. I can't give you an exact example. Let's move on. We only have a certain amount of time.
Let's move on. I bet you better move on, BBC. This guy's career's over at this point in time, I'm pretty sure. I mean, how do you ask that question and not have any facts to back it up? And it would be, you know, it's like me going in and saying to, you know, Joe Biden something like, you know, people are saying that you took lots of money from Hunter. Well, if I don't have any facts to back it up, then I better not make that comment, because I would expect Joe Biden to say, Where are you getting that info? And I'd be like, well, who's the big guy? I'm not sure I understand the big guy. Well, at least I could back up and say, hey, I'm trying to go back to this email of the big guy. This guy, Elon Musk, was like, you stepped into the lion's den, and Elon Musk absolutely nailed it, hit it out of the park. What gets even better is he then starts destroying the reporter in yet another way. And I'm going to play that for you when we get back from the break. I'm going to save that for the flip side. And I have lots of other headlines we got to get into. There's more about the leaked documents, something that's showing. Our deficit has topped $1 trillion in the first 6 months. We got 18,000 cows that were killed, three times the amount that are normally killed in one day, just from a dairy farm explosion and so much more on the opposite side of the break, everyone. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
Here we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. AmericaOutloud.com. 7 amazing years. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. Second half of the show. Let's get straight into it. I was playing Elon Musk's interview with the BBC from Twitter Spaces, and I told you that he attacked the BBC in a brilliant way when the BBC asked about the changing of COVID misinformation labels on Twitter. And here's that exchange. You got to listen to this one. This is great.
COVID misinformation. You've changed the COVID misinformation.
Has BBC changed this COVID misinformation?
The BBC does not set the rules on Twitter, so I'm asking you.
No, I'm talking about the BBC's misinformation about COVID.
I'm literally asking you about, you changed the labels, the COVID misinformation labels. There used to be a policy, and then it disappeared. Why do that?
Well, COVID is no longer an issue. Does the BBC hold itself at all responsible for misinformation regarding masking and side effects of vaccinations and not reporting on that at all? And what about the fact that the BBC was put under pressure by the British government to change its editorial policy? Are you aware of that?
This is not an interview about the BBC.
Oh, so. You thought it wasn't?
I see now why you've done Twitter Spaces. I am not a representative of the BBC's editorial policy. I want to make that clear. Let's talk about something else.
I'm interviewing you too.
All right, let's talk about something else.
You weren't expecting that.
I guess you would want to talk about something else right in that moment, huh? I mean, the interviewer is so uncomfortable looking at his phone, which, by the way, Why are reporters using phones to do interviews? I tell my students in the classroom, when we're interviewing people, you're not allowed to use a phone. I believe the pen and paper or pencil and paper is still the best way for a journalist to do the job. Once you're staring at a screen, there's something so impersonal about having a cell phone out that just screams you're a hack. Tell me I'm wrong on that, journalists that do this job elsewhere, because I cannot stand seeing that. But anyway, I love Elon. Does the BBC hold itself at all responsible for the misinformation regarding masks and side effects of vaccinations and not reporting on that at all? Because that's all part of this trusted news initiative, and it's all part of these brainwashed sheep that still to this day tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, despite the fact that the information is now out there about how masking may actually cause long COVID, meaning masking causes the long COVID symptoms. It's part of the way our bodies were supposed to have proper respiration, and it's denied. You can look up these things as well. I know that right now there's like this new variant already coming out. I was wondering what happened to all the new variants. Haven't heard about one in a while. And now there's one in India and people are starting to mask up again. But the studies are really clear. Number one, masks do almost nothing to stop the spread of COVID. Number two, masks harm people when they are used in ways that they are not used in an emergency room setting for surgeons, meaning all day for more than 12 hours in a day for sometimes people were using these things, it caused negative health outcomes for people. But, you know, apparently you weren't allowed to say that, but it's a good thing that I'm not on one of the TNIs, not part of the Trusted News Initiative. I'm not part of state-sponsored, government-sponsored, public-sponsored. Although I guess I am public-sponsored because you can go to my website and you can donate to me for these shows. But I'm not public in the sense of, you know, the government's not giving me any money whatsoever, nor do I think I have a shot at the government giving me any money anytime soon with the type of stories I've been doing, from Hunter Biden's laptop straight on through to COVID-19, misinformation that was going out there, and holding people accountable day by day. I don't think the government's going to want Greg Bolden as part of the official state-affiliated media. They don't want somebody like myself that believes that it's a uni-party, the Democrat and Republican Party, and it's two sides that have two far wings on either side of the uni-party that is the only thing that's really differentiating, that they're all doing the exact same thing. I keep telling everybody that China, Russia, Ukraine, this whole BRICS movement is about the dollar, right? It's going to weaken the dollar. Well, I'm not sure we need BRICS to do that. According to the news that just came out yesterday, the federal deficit topped $1 trillion in the first 6 months of the fiscal year, October through March, according to the monthly Treasury statement that was released. Now, what this means is the amount of taxes that were brought in during the first 6 months did not match the expenditures of money that was outgoing. So the tax revenues in the first 6 months, they collected $2.048 billion, right? So $2.048 trillion. That's the second highest in the nation's history when you adjust for inflation with tax revenues from other years. According to the monthly Treasury statement, the deficit increased by $378 billion, climbing from $722 billion to $1.1 trillion. It's the first time it's topped $1 trillion in the first 6 months of a fiscal year since COVID. And before COVID, that was unheard of. So we've collected $2 trillion in taxes, but we spent $3 trillion in taxes. Now, what have we spent this money on? Well, I have a bit of a breakdown here for you, so that way you have a little bit better of an understanding. Do you know how much money we've sent to the Ukraine that we weren't planning on spending? Billions. And wait for this. That's not in these numbers. That's the best part of all of this. That's not even part of the numbers I'm going to read to you. Let that sink in for just a few moments. All right. So the Department of Health and Human Services led spending during the first 6 months. They spent $843 billion. Social Security spent $685 billion. and the Department of Treasury spent $540 billion, which may be the Ukraine money. I got to figure out how that, where that money came out of. And that included $384 billion in interest on securities issued to fund the federal debt. So we spent $384 billion just in interest. Do you remember what I was saying the other day? It's ironic that these stories are all coming out one after another, because I didn't plan this to happen. It's just the news is just hitting, hard hitting day after day. I told Americans on Monday that we had to pay attention to the Treasury yield because China had bought up so much of it. And now our deficit, our $33 trillion in budget deficit overall, that we added $1 trillion on just in the first 6 months, which means we'll likely add $2.5 trillion over the course of a year, where we are right now, that the dollar is weakening in record amounts. Now, the Department of Defense added another $386 billion to that deficit. Biden administration, where are you? How are you going to reel this in? Republicans, where are you? Are we going to continue to pass these budgets in December? Are we finally going to say enough is enough? We are mortgaging our children's future, and eventually this whole thing's going to fall. It's a Ponzi scheme at this point in time. The money's not there. We're just robbed from one person. We print it out of thin air. And guess what? It's all going downhill. Now, the person who talked about this the most was Ron Paul. Now, Ron Paul made some waves yesterday as well on the Tim Pool Show. He said that the coup against American democracy was cemented on none other than November 22nd, 1963. Why? Well, listen to this right here.
You know, there's been a coup that take a, we don't have any resemblance government that believes in a republic. We don't have honest money. You know, there's been a coup that take a, we don't have any resemblance to a government that believes in a republic. We don't have honest money. We don't have integrity. We don't even have people in Washington that even pretends, you know, that you're supposed to tell the truth. You know, remember just recently there was a congressperson that won, and he won by putting on his resume just a bunch of lies. And the other ones got hysterical, the other congressman telling lies like this. And I got to thinking, well, how many of these people that were complaining about this guy telling lies, how many of them lied when they raised their hand up and swore to uphold the Constitution? Now, that's a lie that really has consequences. Actually, you could probably make fun and make a little joke, because his jokes weren't, everybody knew he was fibbing, but the real lies are being told, and that is our big problem. But I do believe there has been a coup, and it's been taken over. And if I want to just put the date in my mind, and you, anybody could pick probably any date in the last 100 year, but I have picked November 22nd, 1963.
What happened on that day?
That was the day Kennedy was murdered by our government.
Wow.
You know, by the CIA.
So Ron Paul says he was murdered by the CIA November 22nd, 1963. Now, I have to do some creative research to find out if Ron Paul ever sat on any classified committees where he would have access to that information. But this is information that RFK recently seemed to also back up just about 3 months ago. That's the same RFK Jr. that's now running for president, challenging Joe Biden. By the way, there's some people that believe that Donald Trump should pick RFK Jr. as his running mate. Oh, my. We'll get into that, too, maybe. I don't know. I don't have enough time in today's show to get to everything I want to get to. It's just not going to happen. All right. So there's a dairy farm explosion in Dimmit, Texas. This thing killed 18,000 cows in just one day. That's three times the amount that are normally killed in 3 days. All right, so that's three times the amount of the... I had it right the first time. Three times the amount that are normally killed in one day. So basically, it's 3 days worth of. You know, I have some real beef with this story, and I don't think that I've ever steered you guys wrong. But what I'm about to tell you, the stakes are high. We got a problem. See what I did there? It's my dad jokes for the day. But I'm going to continue to milk this for all it's worth. All right, so I'm just going to grab this story by the horns because I think that this is all tied together. I think it's all tied together to the fact that, you know, this was a well-done job. See what I'm doing there? Now, in all seriousness, how does a farm, a dairy farm, explode? Somebody explain to me what type of equipment is at a dairy farm that can explode and cause a fire that would kill 18,000 cattle. Just kind of curious about that. Maybe it's really explainable, but this is just happening too often in America at this point in time. It seems like every day we hear something new. I mean, just in other ridiculous stories, one of the trucks that was removing the soil, the contaminated soil from the East Palestine site, turned over and spilled the contaminants all over a roadway on Tuesday. I mean, the guy had one job, just get it safely to the whatever. So anyway, these are really moving stories. I can't stop the puns now. Put me out the pasture. Oh, I guess they already did that. They made on ground beef. Oh man, I'm on an absolute roll right now. Woo. All right. I promise you, I'm not going to butcher any more of these puns that I'm doing here. All right. I'm moving on. I got to move on. Also, for those that have been saying, oh, Bitcoin, 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 the government can't track Bitcoin. Guess what? The United States government, the federal authorities, have cracked a $3.4 billion crypto heist, and they figured out a way around the Bitcoin anonymity. And so Mr. Zahn, who basically figured out a way to bring out extra Bitcoin on Silk Road years ago, which Silk Road was, I was told some a long time ago, that the internet is broken up into like the World Wide Web, which is like the surface web. It's everything that we can see that's at the surface and above. And then after that, you have the deep web. It's the stuff that's underneath the surface, but you got to go into, and there's some really bad stuff there, like Silk Road. And so people like Mr. Zahn would buy his cocaine there, and they would exchange Bitcoin because they didn't think that the government could ever figure out what he was doing. Well, guess what? The IRS and the government, they have figured out how to work with the cryptocurrency exchanges and use blockchain analytic companies in order to track down all of the Silk Road cases. So for all those individuals that are on the deep web using Silk Road years ago, guess what? The government's got your number. So I hope that you got all of your affairs in order because you have a date with justice likely coming soon. This is also a bad thing, too, though. And then after the deep web, I should point out there's the dark web, too, which I don't even know how to get to. I don't know how to get to the deep web. I don't plan on doing it. So no one tell me if you know how to do it. I do not support that in any way, shape, or form. It's been explained to me really well, and it's not anything I'm going to touch. That all stated, it's a really bad thing that the government has figured out the whole blockchain analytics, because now the government can manipulate it themselves. And that means that they can frame people. That means that you'll have to really wonder what is real, what is not real. And don't think the government wouldn't frame somebody if make them safer and make them money. Absolutely, they would. The government hates competition. All right, so that is the story on there. What else do I have to end the show here today? There's leaked documents also in these Pentagon files showing that American intelligence is planning for Vladimir Putin's death. They are what they labeled as four wild card scenarios. And then what would they do should he die? What would they do leading up to his death? What would they expect him to do? And that might have been the reason why we heard so much talk about nuclear war last year, because they were concerned that it could be his play. As he was dying, he wouldn't really care about it. And I guess the last part of all this is Donald Trump. He has sued Michael Cohen for $500 million. And the reason he sued him was because he said he was his lawyer. He obviously has breached confidentiality, as well as some other agreements that he had made during his time working for the Trump Organization. And there is many people saying that this is either the most brilliant thing Donald Trump could do in the midst of fighting these charges in New York, or it could backfire absolutely horribly on him. It's going to be very interesting to follow. And then the last story, speaking of courts, the jury selection is beginning in the Dominion trial against Fox News. And I covered that a little bit ago, but as that gets off the ground, I'll be sure to check in, because I believe that what we hear about Fox is exactly what's going on at MSNBC and CNN and all of these other news agency companies that are on cable news, all manipulating the masses every single day, giving you misinformation and making sure that you come back the next day. I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying just to give you the headlines and break it down for you the best that I can. Hopefully I did a good job of that today, and I'll be back to end the week with you tomorrow with the final episode. Appreciate all of you listening. As always, you can go to AmericaOutloud.com. You can check out all my colleagues' work on this network as well and visit our sponsors. And as well as you can listen to America Out Loud Talk Radio. You can find that on your favorite mobile device. If you'd like to support this show directly, you can go to my website, AmericaEmboldened.com, where you can donate to my Give, Send, Go, offer me a prayer, or buy me a cup of coffee, whatever works for you. I'm happy to have your support. Be back tomorrow, everybody. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.